Praise the Lord, everyone. Sincerely hope that you're glad to be in the house of the Lord early this morning. Amen. You know, manna was always gathered early. If you waited too long, it just kind of was rotten and you didn't get too much of it. So we're glad to be here, and thank you to the sponsors and steering committee and those that are responsible for me to be here. Thank you for the nice room and the hospitality thus far. I've always been treated very kind here in Alabama, and so therefore it's not a drudgery for me to come. I do appreciate that. If you turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. And verse 1, it simply reads, God, who at sundrous times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. I want to talk to you simply confined in here about the authority of the word of God, if I may, the authority of the word of the Lord today. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Our civilization, our culture, if I can say it like that, and our civilization is in an authority crisis. And somebody say amen early on. It is very evident that the moral groundwork of our society is fastly fading. And it's simply because that we've lost the authority of the word of the Lord in the culture. In the 1800s, before what we call the Industrial Revolution, all schools, whether parochial or higher learning, were based on the Bible. They were based on the knowledge of God and the knowledge of his word. Universities and all of these were founded by Christians or founded by those people. And the basis of these colleges was to not only promote higher secular learning, but to incorporate that with the word of God. Now what's happening in our society, we have taken God out of the school system, and his authority has been drawn out of that school system, and his word has been drawn out of that school system. And so now it's almost unconstitutional to take a Bible to school. So since they've drawn God and his word and his authority out, now they have metal detectors. Now they have gang violence. Now they have uncontrolled immorality. There is just confusion everywhere. And that's what happens when we lose the authority of the word of the Lord. Oh, come on, somebody, early on. Now let's take it a little bit further or backwards, however it goes. That when our nation was founded, the founders of our nation decided to build this nation on the precepts and principles that was found in the word of God. Government was even ruled. Political systems were ruled according to the moral word of God himself. Hence, today, we've taken God out of government. the political system rolls on whatever is relevant to the present culture. They have created a very wide gap, what they call the separation of church and state. And there was never meant to be a separation. God has always meant to be in the middle of humanity. Now, as we look at what's happening in the schools, also what's happening in the political arena, which brings us to where we are today, that we cannot afford to let this same thing happen in the church. Amen. It does not matter which direction our society is going. It does not matter which direction our culture is proceeding into. As the church of the living God, we must make a stand and say, you believe what you want to believe, but I have chosen to believe in the divine authority of the Somebody shout hallelujah. I have chosen to believe that the Word of God, that what we call the Bible, does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. For if I say it contains it, that means I am leaving some leeway that it might contain something else. It might contain something other than the Word of God. So it does not contain the Word. It is the Word. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. I know the Bible is philosophical, but it is not a book of psychology. I know there is poems, but it is not, it's poetic, but it's not a book of poems. It is the divine, inspired, holy Word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God is established forever. Amen. Parental authority is in assault today. Pastoral authority is in assault today. We can take it from the president all the way down to the mother in the house or the father in the house. And we can see an authority crisis in America. Amen. We are dealing with a generation that the Bible calls them children of disobedience. Our kids can't hardly help themselves. It's the spirit of their age. In the last days, it talks about children of disobedience. And we got to be careful that we bring ourselves under the authority of the Word. Not too many amens at that one. You see, nobody can force me to be in submission. I'm going to say that again. Nobody can force me to be in submission. If I am forced to submit, I'm doing it out of fear or intimidation or in fear of something other than what I'm supposed to fear. Are you getting me? And then I am not in submission as much as I am in slavery. And I'm chained and shackled with principles and precepts that I really don't want. But when I make up my mind and out of the depths of my heart, because I realize how good God has been to me, I submit to His authority. I am no longer a slave. I am a servant. As Bishop Wilson would say, I'm in the bonds of love. I'm not shackled. I'm staying here on purpose. I'm here because I want to be here. Somebody's not understanding what I'm saying. You can serve God under slavery, but it's not going to be a really nice thing. I'm not here because I have to be. I'm not afraid. I'm not here because of fear, because I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell. Maybe I should be. I live a lot better than what I'm living. But I'm not here because I'm in fear of hell or I'm in fear of judgment. I'm here today because there was a God that picked me up out of sin. And when I was not lovable, he loved me. And when I was not savable, he saved me. And when I was not redeemable, he redeemed me. And so willingly, I place myself under his divine authority. Why? Because he knows what's best for me. Even when I don't, oh, I wish somebody come on and help me early on. Even when I don't know what's best for me, God knows what's best for me. And his word is definitive and authoritative. And there is no substitute. Now, you can substitute saccharin, sweet and low, equal for sugar. Kind of tastes the same, but you can substitute real Coke with Diet Coke, sugar for sugar-free, fat for fat-free. But there is, absolutely, without a doubt, no controversy, a substitution for divine authority. You're either under it or you're not. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, the gray areas of the Bible are very, very narrow. The Bible is very plain. Very plain. As a matter of fact, it's so simple that the Bible says even a fool should not err therein. Nevertheless, it remains very complex. It's the only book that is simple and complex at the same time. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? It is so simple that a fool should not err therein, but it's so complex that it will confound the wise. What is he talking about? It hinges on your desire, on your want to, on your hunger, on your thirst. It hinges on your desire to have this burning relationship. Is anybody hearing? Amos asks us the question, can two walk together except they agree? And we know the answer to that. I've been married for 30 years. So the answer to that is no way. Because we can't agree on everything. So how can two walk together? The answer is very simple. Somebody has to be in submission. Okay, all right. Maybe I got the wrong subject. Two cannot walk together and agree. Someone has to be in submission. And since God is not going to submit, oh, I've tried. Oh, Lord, help me. Now, I tried because I don't know. I'm different. And if you've been around me, you know that. If I preach for you, he's weird, so that's fine with me. I'm good with being weird. But God is weirder than I am, and that's weird, you know. For some reason, He doesn't seem to understand. He can't seem to get a hold of this thing the way I have a hold of it. And he doesn't seem to want to listen to me when I'm trying to get him to see things the way I want him to see it. Somehow in his mind, he's come up with this whole thing that he's God. You see, he's got a God complex. Somehow he's come up with this thing that he is the absolute divine authority. Somewhere he's come up with this thing that my word is the definitive. I mean, if you will hinge your life, if you will build your life on, around, through, and in the Word of God, there is no way. Oh, somebody hear me, what I'm saying. That you can fail, because the Word of God will never fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will never fail. He's got this deal. I'm trying to say, you need to listen to me. I have learned some things in 52 years that you haven't thought about. And God's going like, you don't know nothing. I goes like, you haven't given me a chance. And in the prayer room, I am trying to get him to see it, but he doesn't. So somewhere I have to acquiesce to his way. I said, okay, since you're stubborn and hard-headed, we'll do it your way. He said, Brother Emery, that's crazy. Is it really? We do it all the time. I'm just more honest than what you are. Children, how was the fishing? Oh, we fished all night. We tawled and caught nothing. Launch out a little bit over here to the right side, a little bit further out in the deep than where you were, and let down your net for a catch. You're right. You're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. You're trying to tell me what to... Look, listen. Go build a desk or a chair or a table, stand it down, and then we'll talk about it. But don't try to tell me how to fish. I've been out here all night. If you just go right over there and drop your net down, I'm telling you, there's a great draw. Now, Peter looks at Jesus and said, okay, I tell you what, let's humor him. I know you read it different. He says it like this. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. But what he's really saying is, let's humor him. Let's just do what he says, because, and prove to him that we know what we're talking about. That's why he only let down one net. It didn't have anything to do with his faith. It had to do with his inability to grasp the authority of the world. Have mercy. Y'all not hearing what I'm preaching yet? Okay. It did with his inability to grasp the power of the authority of the Word of God. Because I don't know, I don't care how long you've been fishing there and what you caught or didn't catch, but when the Word of God says there's something there, there is something there. I'll tell you, if you don't believe, humor God. Just do what he asks you to do. And you, somebody just shout amen in a minute. Friend, listen, you may have knocked every door in your city. You may have did everything about evangelism, but if you get a word from God, and God said, go in this community and go in this area, or go over here, this part of town, don't be arguing with him about how many times you've been over there. Is anybody going to hear what I'm saying today? If you have a divine word of God, submit yourself to the authority thereof and watch what God will do. Somebody shout amen. All right, so somebody's got to submit in this arena of walking. Now, understanding now, secular outlooks do not affirm the supernatural power of God. They think it's mystical. They think it's woo, ooga booga, magic. Listen, this is not Harry Potter. Don't get this confused, all right? This is the church. All of that out there is counterfeit. This is the real. And it does not matter how much they misuse the supernatural. That does not make the supernatural. Somebody need to hear what I'm saying. It does not matter how much they misuse the supernatural or misunderstand the supernatural or use it, you know, in negativity according to the authority of the word. It is still divine order of the word of God. There is still healing in the church. There are still miracles in the church. There is still divine supernatural movings of the Holy Ghost in the church. God still does speak to us. There's still revelation in the church. Do not allow what goes on outside of the supernatural community to cause you to pull back from what God wants you to have. A church without the supernatural is just another place to go, a fellowship hall. I know I'm not interested in a fellowship hall. I need a church. I need a place where I can be delivered. I need a place where I can be healed. I need a place where I can be set free. I need a place where the waters of baptism are flowing and the blood of Jesus is cleansing and the Holy Ghost is feeling and lives are changed and altered. I need to get ready for eternity. I want to be saved. I don't need a club. I need a church. I don't need a crowd. I need a church. I don't need some little cliquish thing. I need a church that is under the divine authority of the word and flowing in the power of God. I need a church. The church is where the divine authority of God should be most prevalent. Not what I think. Not what my opinion is. Not what my interpretation. The Bible says all scripture is given by divine. Listen, for every scripture in this book is breathed in this book by God. This is not a bunch of dudes smoking dope and sitting around. Are y'all hearing me preach to you today? This is not a bunch of guys on crack cocaine that just shot up with heroin and all this and got some kind. No, no. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Every scripture is divinely breathed by God and has an authority in it that will set your church on fire and set your town on edge and turn your life upside down. This is the divine authority that we should submit ourselves to in the arena of the supernatural today. The reason why the supernatural is going crazy because nobody is under authority. Everybody wants to do their own thing. We're in the days of judges when every man did what was right in his own eyes. I had a gentleman come to me. Nice kid. I call him a kid because he's younger than me in more ways than he understands. He's gifted. He has a measure of anointing. He's talented. But he's a novice. And since I was a new pastor, he didn't think that I knew what I was talking about. So he walks into my office, he throws down his letter of resignation. And I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm resigning. I said, you can't do this. He says, yes, I can. I said, this is wrong. He said, no, it's not. I said, you shouldn't do this. This is not the way it's done. He said, but I heard from God. I said, okay. And? What's that supposed to mean? He said, you don't. I said, listen, this, he said, I knew you wouldn't understand. I hear from God. I said, oh, okay. Are you. So what does that mean to me? So he just walks out. And I'm trying to get him to see whatever dream or vision or some little supernatural utterance that you might think you hear. If it is in contrary, I hope this is all right, folks. If it's contrary to the authority of this book, I don't care where you dreamed it. I don't care where you saw it. I don't care where you heard it. If it comes in contradiction to the authority of the word, you better throw that away and get a hold of this. It doesn't matter how talented you are, how anointed you are. Are you hearing me preach to you yet? I don't care if you can raise the dead and call blind eyes to see you. When you're out of authority of the word of the God, you are in trouble, my friend. It doesn't matter how great your anointing is. It doesn't matter how great your talent is, how eloquent you speak, how divine you are. If you are contradicting to the authority of the word, you are somewhere outside of what God wants you to be. Is anybody hearing me preach to you today? No dream, no vision is above the authority of the word. Can I go a little bit step further? Neither is it above pastoral authority. Is anybody hearing me today? I didn't say above me as the pastor. I said pastoral authority, because actually Jesus is the pastor. I'm the overseer. I'm just watching over his flock. You're not hearing what I'm saying. You don't belong to me. You belong to him. I wish somebody hear what I'm saying. And when, are you hearing what I'm saying? And when you are in rebellion against the overseer, you are in rebellion against the shepherd. Oh, come on and hear me preach today. And if you, hello, if you're underneath the shepherd, then you're going to be submitted to the overseer. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? We've got to have the authority of the word in our life today. We cannot just drift and vacillate with some fluidity of thought or concept, amen, or pseudo-intellectualism. No, somewhere the principles and precepts of the word of God has to be a foundation for me to build my life, my marriage, my home, my ministry. And if I contradict that, I've got to find my way back to the word. I've got to find my way back to the bedrock, the foundation of what this, all these things. But you see, heaven and earth is built on the foundation of the word. In the beginning was the word. Everything that we live, move, and breathe in is founded on the word of God. And if one jot or one tittle of that fail, everything just fades away, because it is predicated and founded and uniquely established by the power of the word. Are you hearing what I'm preaching? For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things by seeing. By it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. I'm still in your Bible. We're framed by the word, not by some cosmic accident, not by some big bang. No, 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 no. Am I preaching in the apostolic church today? I said, not by some little cosmic accident that happened on its own. No, but the Bible said God spoke in the beginning. His word created even the fragile atmosphere of your existence, my friend, is predicated on the authority of his word. All you are is dust and dew. That's it. A little bone, a little flesh, a little breath, very little brains. Dust and dew. What causes Jupiter from running into Saturn? What keeps the moon from colliding to the earth? It's not that far away. What keeps the earth from being drawn into the sun? His word. Because he said, this is the way I want it to be. What causes the violent waves of the oceans that come 10, 15, 20, 30 feet up, and then when they get to a preset place, they flither back from it, because he has set a line. And so you can't cross over that. Are y'all hearing what I'm preaching to you today? We must be under the authority. You see, secularism started way back, even with Cain. Because Cain is saying, I know what you say, but you're going to have to do it my way, God. And God says, you know, Cain, if you do what accept it, I mean, if you do what's right, I'll accept from you what I tell you I'm accept for you. But if you don't do well, then sin lieth at the door. I mean, rebellion is there. And then we go to the height of human religion. Is at Babel. And they said, God said, I tell you what, it repenteth me that I destroyed the earth. Well, I'll never do that again. So he put a rainbow in the heavens. He said, every time you see that rainbow, that's a confirmation of my word to you. But you see, the people down in the valley goes like, we can't trust this guy. So they began to build a tower. Watch what they said. We're going to build a tower that reaches heaven. Not a tower over the mountains, not a tower to make sure that we don't get drowned again, but we're going to make our own way into the heavenlies. Is anybody going to hear me? We're going to create our own salvation. We're going to build a tower that reaches into the heavens. We're not going to trust God. We're not going to trust the divine authority of his word. We're not going to trust the principles and precepts of what he says. We don't believe. Are you hearing me, preacher? So we're going to make our own religion that will get us where we really want to go. Don't you understand, friend, that people are still doing that? We don't call it Babel anymore, but it's still Babel, which means confusion. Because if you think you're going to get it to heaven any other way than this, you're confused. Let me just say this for a record. You still must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You can stand up and accept the Lord as your personal Savior if you desire, but you still have to be born again of the water and... Is anybody going to help me preach today? You can say the sinner's prayer if you desire, and that's good and that's well. But a man must be born again of the water and of the Spirit if he's going to enter into the kingdom of God. Because I say so? Uh-uh. Because the prophets say so? Uh-uh. Because in the last days he's spoken to us by his Son, who he's appointed heir of all things. And the Lord Jesus Christ says a man must be born again. Now, if you're going to argue with it, argue with the book. The reason why they've gone about to create cosmic accident is because if there is no creator, then there is no heaven and there is no hell. There is no good. And there is no evil. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So therefore, I can just live my life without any absolutes. Relative moral society just fluctuating with the culture. But in reality, there is a creator. In reality, there are principles and precepts that we're to live our life by. In reality, if I'm going to be saved, I cannot do everything that I want to do and still be saved. Is this all right? I hope this is okay. I can't just dress like I want to dress and still be saved. I can't act or behave in a manner. Is this all right with y'all? Why? Because there is an authority that is divinely set. It is absolute. It is not relative. It does not vacillate. It is not fluidic. It is established before the... Are you understanding what I'm saying? Before the heavens and earth came into existence, the word of God was already there. I want you to understand that God made a way before he even made a world. John said, I saw him, he was like a lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Before the world was even made, before there was a world, there was a way, and God made the way through his word. And therefore, we're living there, and we're moving there, and I'm just about done. Listen, when we look at this thing, people can regard the Bible as just a book if they want to, but it is not just a book. And if any people on the face of the earth should guard it or have a different view of it, it should be us. That was weak. This is not McCall, Cosmopolitan. This is not GQ. This is not a Reader's Digest. This was not written by James Patterson. Are y'all getting what I'm telling you? If any people on the face of the earth should have a high degree of respect and honor and awe, how can we say we are in awe of God when we're not in awe of his word? Because you cannot separate the one from the other. I don't know about you. I am in awe of this thing. Every time I read it, I read it through about three times, and every time I read it, I see something that I've never seen. In the same scripture that I read 100 times, it keeps unfolding and unfolding. It's a progressive, revelatory, authoritative book. Can I submit to you that it's not so much what we do, but why we do it and how we do it? I don't know how to interpret your silence, so I'll say it again. It's not so much what I do, but why and how. And if I can somehow tailor myself within the confinements of this authoritative word and get my heart and my mind and my spirit in sync, if I can somehow get with the spirit of the author of the word, everybody standing. I am desperate to, what did he say? I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Not lost, but left. And somehow I want to first go back to my first love. Because you see, you cannot know God outside of his word. The word of God is the revealed thought, purpose, plan, desire of God to you. And I thought, like, I've been doing it all wrong. I've been trying to fall in love with God, and that's almost impossible because I can't see him. I can't feel him. I can't touch him. But if I can fall in love with his word, and I'm making sense, maybe I'm just weird. Something I can see, because see, my sensory perceptions, something I can see, something I can feel, something I can touch, isn't that what the apostle said? That which was from it, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled of the word of the Lord. So this morning in the first session, why don't we go on the trek of again falling in love, not with a book, but with the word of God. And thereby, when we love his word, we will love him, because they are inseparable. I can see the word. I can feel the word. I can touch the word. I can. Are y'all? Am I being too? Is this okay for somebody? I mean, I don't know what I'm saying. So all over the building, why don't you lift your hands right now? God, some way, somehow, in this perverse generation, let there be a people who still regard your word as divinely inspired. And let this people be us today. that we are in love with your word, that we're in awe with your word, that we respect and honor, that it is majesty, it is power, that we set it on high in our heart, that it is above everything, it is higher than the heavens, oh God, that this word established heaven and earth, and that my life is built and contained and confined, and my destiny is built and contained and confined, and if I can grab a hold of this word, everything is going to be all right in my life. So breathe on us this morning, God. Touch our hearts, touch our souls, touch our minds, and let us hunger. I want somebody to lift your hands. Come on. Let us hunger again after your word. Let us hunger after the precepts and the principles and the lines of your word today.